So how was this creation unearthed? How did you guys come up with this idea together?
I was thinking about that last night, actually. I have no idea why we decided this story, except for that we work in a steampunk kind of genre, and Wind in the Willows, which is what this is based on, just seems like a naturally steampunk story. And we thought we would just do the most difficult show we possibly could.
Why is steampunk sexy? Why do people like it?
I think it's because it's so accessible to so many different age groups and actually money groups, too, because you can put a steampunk look together fairly cheap and, like, kind of make yourself look really cool with this very cheap kind of way of doing it. And that's what's kind of fun. It's very, like, kind of anything that you can put together to make it look this neat, you know, future past kind of look.
Okay, Liz, Colin said before that you guys were looking to do something extremely difficult. You're directing, you know, yourself and, you know, 17, 18 other people. How difficult was that?
Colin is a bit of a genius. And he wrote an incredible story. And what's awesome about his story, and he's fully truthful about this, is that he never once takes into the account that we need to stage it. So it leaves me to be able to imagine a ton of different ways and capabilities of putting it on its feet. And the story is written really cinematically and not really theatrically at all. So it's been an excellent challenge and a lot of fun to sort of marry the two genres. And what I mean by this is there are scenes within scenes, there are overlapping scenes. Although it's very theatrical, it has a huge cinematic feel to it, and it plays like a movie, not necessarily like a musical. But it has been a challenge. And there have been times where we're like, wow, how are we going to do this? Well, we'll figure it out.
What are some of the challenges you guys faced, and how did you guys, like, eventually get it done?
Well, one of the challenges is definitely that we have a machine in it that has to represent a lot of different things. It's Roscoe's machine that he starts off as kind of like a car kind of thing that goes into an airplane, that goes into a rocket ship. And to be able to do that on stage and still keep it interesting for an audience, because you can't have a guy just sitting in a chair for an entire song or for an entire speech and make it, you know, and keep the audience interested in it. So Liz had to really figure out ways to stage that and to make the machine look like it was doing something with, you know, a very limited way of doing that.
Considering how cinematic you guys are making this production sound, and considering the fact that it started out as, you know, a book as well, are there any plans eventually to possibly turn this into a screenplay?
I would love to. it's one of those things that in a weird way, it's easier to do on stage because people will accept imagining something on stage, whereas if you were going to do it on film, you'd have to have the thing fly, you know, or you'd have to be able to make it look right.
So I'm going to give you guys both a hypothetical here. Let's just say an hour before the show opens, you guys are outside the Beckett Theater, you know, I don't know, smoking a cigarette or just like, you know, kind of trying to unwind, just relax, get in your zone and stuff like that. And you see a bunch of people walking by the theater and they see the marquee and they have that look on their face, you know that look. Like when you're about to like download a song on iTunes and then you change your mind and then you decide to again, like they're like, whoa, this looks cool, and they want to come in but they don't know. You can grab those people and kind of pitch them what this project is and why they should be in that theater. What do you guys think that you would say to them?
You go for it.
I would find out if they liked musicals. And if they like musicals, then that's great. I can get them on that. But if they didn't like musicals, I think I could still get them because we write musicals for people who don't necessarily like musicals. We write it for guys. We write it for, you know, people who don't necessarily always like to watch somebody singing forever about how they love somebody, which we do have that. We have that very much. But we also have this, like, feeling about the show where there's these great suspense moments and adventure moments and things that you don't normally see in a musical. And music that is not your typical music you hear in a musical either. It's very cinematic music where it's, you know, it's bombastic, it's loud, it's got, you know, a lot of melody going on, stuff that you can hum when you leave the theater. So that's probably how I get them.
Liz, you want to try?
Oh, you're scaring me here. I just think it's an incredible story, and I think anybody who misses this story will be so sad, because it's going to be a story that we tell for years and years to come. There's passionate relationships, there's maternal relationships, there's unconditional love relationships, and there's the unlikely relationship, and we've all been in all of those relationships, and it's kind of amazing to see them play out.
So, musically, what are your influences, guys, and how do you think that played a role in the score of this production?
I'm a soundtrack buff, like movie soundtrack. I mean, obviously, we're pushing this movie thing quite a bit. But that was what I grew up listening to, is soundtracks. So, you know, like John Williams, James Horner, Hans Zimmer, people like that. And I never try to write music for a musical, and Liz writes the lyrics for these. And it's very difficult for her because I'm writing songs that are... they're based on a scene, and you know, a musical is based on, like, verse, chorus, verse, chorus. And I don't give that to her ever. I make her really work for her lyrics. And it's great, because I think that we both push each other that way, to be able to really try new things and keep the audience interested at the same time.
It's an excellent partnership, too, because Colin's background is so... movies and soundtracks and cinema, and my background is so theater and stage and musicals, that to put the two together, I think it's sort of an excellent combination.
Yeah.
At the same time, you guys are both kind of like lifers in theater in a way. What attracts you guys to the genre?
Oh, I think we're just masochists, really. You have to love telling stories. I absolutely love telling stories, and I love directing people to tell stories. And there's nothing like live theater. There will never, ever be anything like live theater, because anything can happen. And I think it's this wonderful combination of being in the cast and being in the audience, and how those two things absolutely support each other, and one is nothing without the other. So that's why I'm a lifer.
We also have, like, a kind of a core cast of people who... for whatever reason, we love watching them on stage, and we love giving them new things. A lot of parts are written specifically for people who we've been working with a lot, and we love to do that for them. We love to give them this thing on stage and see how happy they get and how much fun they have, and it's fun for us, too.
Our lead, Alex, I almost called him Axel. We call him Axel. His name is Alex Parrish. He's playing Rospo Di Oro. This is the second lead that we've written for him, and he's just extraordinary,
yeah.
And I would write for him again tomorrow, but not really tomorrow, because we don't have time.
No, we don't have
time. But maybe when this one closes.
So you just mentioned Alex. What about the rest of the cast? You've got a super large cast, so what makes them special?
It's so funny you say super large. Our typical cast size ranges between 35 and 45 people.
That's super large.
So when we cast 18, it feels like no one's at rehearsal to us.
Yeah, we scale this one back as far as size goes.
The cast is absolutely talented. We've got people from all over the globe coming to play with us, and they're all professional colleagues and now friends of ours. Their voices are extraordinary and are so unbelievably different. We've got everybody from pop singers to theatrical singers to opera singers. And it's just it's an amazing, like, marriage of sounds and voices and looks. And we kind of sometimes call ourselves, we like the underdogs. We like the people that look different and sound different and maybe aren't your stereotypical norm. And they make such a beautiful story because they paint such a colorful picture on stage. So, yeah, the rest of the cast is amazing. We're very lucky.
Is there anything else that you guys want to say about this production and why people should head out to the theater and check it out?
Now, I think when I sold it, that's probably what I would tell everyone, basically, is even if you don't like musicals, you're going to find stuff that you like in this. I mean, it has basically every kind of genre all meshed into one, but it's not in a, you don't lose anything in any of the genres. We have suspense, we have action, we have romance, we have, you know, kind of tragedy here and there. And it all just works together as one big story, and it's great.
Yeah, you will feel everything you can possibly feel. You will feel love, hate. You will laugh. You will cry. You will be nervous. You will hope for things. It will really take you. It will take you through the gamut of emotions. It's kind of incredible.